number 23 tonight, and I probably will not say anything that you have not heard tonight. I hope that it'll be a help. I don't know who this is for tonight, but I hope that it's for somebody. Amen. If it's not for you tonight, put it in your side pocket because you'll need it later on down the road. Amen. Job chapter number 23 tonight. Job chapter number 23. Begin reading in verse number 1 for context's sake. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me.
Amen.
There the righteous might dispute with him, so would I be delivered forever from my judge." Here's the main part of the message I want to preach on. Job says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take."
Yeah, he does. Amen.
You know, Job's saying right here, he's saying, I may not know where God's at,
right,
but God knows where I'm at.
Amen.
Amen. And that's enough for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
"But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth that thing that is appointed unto me, and many such things are with him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the testimonies tonight. God, I pray you'd help me to preach the power of God tonight. God, I pray you'd help, even if it's just one person. God, I don't even know who needs it tonight. I pray you'd help your people tonight speak to their hearts through the life of Job. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Pray that Christ be exalted above all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, many of y'all know the story of Job. Even lost people know the story of Job. But we're going to go over some things about Job and get into the message tonight. First of all, if you know anything about Job, you know him as his character and as the person he was. Job was a perfect and upright man who feared God. He lived in the land of Uz, which is probably northwestern part of Arabia today. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, a very great household, and he was probably the most wealthiest man of the East during that time. Amen? And so Job had everything that a person could possibly want that this world could offer and loses it within a matter of 2 chapters. Amen? Within a matter of 2 chapters. Now, first of all, I see Job's desire in verse number 3. He says, "Oh, that I might knew, if I knew where I might could find him."
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is with Job is Job was not out in sin.
Right.
Okay? The reason why Job could not find God is not because he was backslidden. It's not because he was out in the world.
Right.
Amen? It's not because he had unconfessed sin in his life, although his brethren, amen, the brethren, amen,
right,
thought that he did.
Yep.
Listen, there's a lot of people that sometimes you can't always confide in, even in churches sometimes.
Yeah, right.
Amen?
Man.
Because they'll think, that, oh, there must be something wrong with him. He had a desire, listen, he had a desire to seek after God and to find the face of God. Amen? But I also see his disaster. Within one day, Job loses almost everything. And I'd probably have to say, I don't know if it's the next day, if the next chapter is in the next day, but for alliteration's sake, the devil is given permission by God to attack Job. Y'all know the story where God and the devil go back and forth arguing over Job. God knows the character of Job, but listen, the devil wants to destroy everything about Job. He pretty much tells God he's just serving you because you're blessing him, just because you're good to him. Amen. You give me a day with him and he'll curse your name. Amen. And so the devil is given permission to attack Job. He attacks Job in his belongings. I don't think that really mattered too much to Job, but I believe when he attacked Job's bloodline, when he attacked Job's kids. Now, I don't really stay here that long, but I'm just going to just park it here for just a sec.
Whenever the messengers come up to Job, you read in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and they say, you know, all this is destroyed, and you know, your camels are gone, all of your household is gone. But I believe when he got the news that his children were gone. I'm trying to put myself in Job's place right now, trying to imagine as Job's heart probably began to sink in as he got that news. And you read that Job bows down to the ground and he says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And if that's not enough, the devil attacks his body. He's given bulls. Or I don't remember what everybody says that is today, but I know one thing, it's not good. He's attacked mentally, physically, in every single area he can be attacked. And only for his wife to say, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Now, I do try to put myself in her place, and I could understand. Listen, I don't know how I would react if all that happened to me. I'm not going to act like I'm some super Christian tonight and act as if I would be super spiritual and have the right attitude about it and say, "Praise Jesus for allowing all these things to happen in my life." But Job had a sudden disaster. And the fact is, listen, there are things that happen in our lives that come without any warning whatsoever. The fact is that there are things, listen, life can hit you with a sucker punch and knock the living life out of you sometimes. Amen? The fact is, many times we don't think God is in things that happen to us in our lives like cancer. Or when we get that pink ticket, amen, at work. Or when that child goes wayward. Or when that spouse leaves. Or when there's a death in the family. We don't think God's in any of that many times. And we say, "Where was God when this happened?" Watched a documentary. I don't really remember the whole entire story. A documentary on Netflix called "Where Was God?" By that big tornado that came and swept through. And families were killed and people lost their families and everything else. Listen, there it was a disaster that happened. A lot of times there are things that will happen in our lives that we have no clue why God allowed it to happen. Let me say this also for the record tonight, that sometimes you hear people say, "Well, you shouldn't question the Lord." And I agree to that to an extent, but I believe it is a natural thing sometimes when things come into our lives that we wonder, why? Why? Listen, there's people in the Bible who ask God why. Amen? Listen, I think about John the Baptist when he got locked up for preaching the gospel and he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you the one or do I need to look for another?" Amen? Think about Gideon when Gideon's about to go up against the Midianites. He said, "Lord, if you're with us, why in the world are we struggling?" Why? Why? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of God hung upon the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Why? I think it's a natural thing sometimes to ask why. There are some times that, listen, there are things that will happen in our lives that I believe we may never know on this side of eternity. I'm going to get to that here very shortly tonight. But I see his desire, I see his disaster, I see his, number three, I see his depression. He says in verse number 2, "Even today is my complaint bitter." And he says, "My stroke is heavier than my groanings." That word stroke means, it means the load and the pressure. You know what he's saying? He's saying, "I can't really even get out or express how I'm feeling." You ever been like that before where the only thing you know how to do is get on your face before God and you don't even know how to get it out? You don't even know the words to say. Listen, I'm glad Romans chapter 8 talks about, it says the Holy Ghost of God knows our hearts. He knows how to make utterance towards God on our behalf when we don't even know what to say except for, "Lord, help. Lord, help." And Job is going through a time in his life of a deep depression. Now, that word, don't be afraid of that word depression. People say, "Well, if you're depressed, you must have something wrong with you in your life. You just need to get right with God." Listen, I've known some people, I've known men of God, amen, who have dealt with depression. By a matter of fact, one of the greatest men of God, amen, Charles Spurgeon will say that he dealt with depression in his life. Elijah wished himself dead and dealt with depression. King David had to encourage himself in the Lord when everybody had turned their backs on him. I'd have to say there's some people in the Bible who have dealt with depression, amen, and oppression and heaviness in their lives. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about a season of heaviness in the book of James, a season of heaviness. You say, how long is that season? I don't know, but God allows it to happen, amen, to grow you as a Christian. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I'm too blessed to be depressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. And I just asked them that this one question. Where is that in the Bible? Listen, I've been blessed and been stressed. I'm a very blessed person, but that don't mean I'm not stressed half the time. Amen. Listen, I'm trying to get to where we're at tonight. Amen. The problem is tonight, a lot of times, we as Christians, we try to paint this picture when we come to church that everything is all right in our lives when really we're falling apart. How many times have I went in church, somebody say, how's things going in your life? And I got to put on a smile and say, it's going great, brother, going great. And literally on the inside, I'm thinking, if you only knew, if you only knew the load I'm carrying. I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight. I mean, you're really, right now you're trying to hold it in on the inside, but really you're carrying a load, and you need to cast it upon the Lord tonight. Amen? I see his depression. Let me say this, that Jesus knows about depression. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Bible says, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. No, that means the same things that we feel, the same things we go through, he's been through and he's felt those things. But a lot of times we feel exempt. We feel as if we're just alone and nobody else knows what we're going through. I promise you the Savior knows what we're going through, and I'm about to knock this over. Fourthly, though, I see his determination. He says, and this is introduction, I'm going to get into the message, some things to consider. I'm just trying to give you some things of what he's going through. But Job stayed determined regardless of how he felt. Okay? Job, in verse 10, he says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know what Job's saying? He's saying, I'm not giving up on God. He's saying, I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. Amen. Job's saying, regardless of everything that's going on, amen. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. Amen. He said, if I have to die this way, I'm going to die right. I'm going to die serving God. Amen. And I'm not going anywhere. Listen, I don't care whatever everybody else goes. I'm going to stay where God has put me. That's what Job is saying. Problem today is when we can't figure God out and we can't feel God out, we have a problem faithing God out. Amen? Listen, we're like that squirrel in the middle of the street. Amen? I mean, you see that squirrel about half a mile down the road, brother, and he sees you coming, but he cannot make up his mind. He'll go across the road one time and go across the road the second time, and he cannot make up his mind. And by the time you get up to him, he gets ran over because he cannot make up his mind. It's how we are as Christians many days. Job had his mind made up. He's saying, look, I'm sticking with God regardless of what happens in my life. A lot of times we try to run from those things. When God puts things in our lives that makes us uncomfortable, we try to run from those things. Now, some things to consider. Listen, I don't have no real fancy outline tonight. I just want to give you some things to consider when you cannot find God. Some things to consider. I don't have an ABC, this is what you do. Some things to consider when you cannot find God. Amen. First of all, you need to consider that His providence is divine. Amen. His providence is divine. Verse number 6, the Bible says, will He plead against me with His great power? In other words, is He going to do like my brethren's been doing? Is He going to just go against me and just be my enemy? He says, no. But He would put strength in me. You know what providence is? It's an act of providing or caring for future use. It is foresight. It means timely care. It means divine guidance and or care. In other words, Job is saying this, that although I can't find Him, I know there's a God in heaven who's going to help me through this. The Bible says in Psalms 46, verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That word portion means inheritance, it means reward, and it means possession. The psalmist, when he said that, he's saying, the Lord is the only thing I've got. Y'all ever heard the saying, Jesus is all you need? He's all you need. I don't believe we can truly say that until we've gotten to the place where Jesus is all we have. Sometimes God wants to get us to the place where God is all we have. Amen? And God will show us, listen, there are many times when God will put a person to a place in their life, set them aside where they feel all alone so that He can work on that person and show them how intimate He can be with them. I remember the story. How many of y'all have ever heard of the song called No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus? How many of y'all know the story behind that song? If y'all don't know the story behind that song, let me tell you the story behind that song. The man who wrote it was a named Charles Weigel. He used to be, I think it was back in the 1800s, he used to be a big-time evangelist. I mean, he had a passion for winning souls to Christ. He would preach revivals and preach tent meetings and all those different things. He was also a songwriter. But his wife, on the other hand, I don't know really know what happened. She got tired of the ministry. She got tired of that life. Eventually, she left him and left a note saying, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm gone. I'm taking the kids, and we're out of here. Charles Weigel comes home to find that note that everything in that marriage was pretty much over. I mean, after that, he can't no longer minister. His ministry is over. Everything, listen, his wife, the one who loved him, everything, it is all gone. For the next couple of years, Charles Weigel would struggle with the deepest, darkest depression in his life to the point to where he did not even think anybody truly cared about him. Until after a couple of years, when the Lord started helping to restore him, he started reading verses of Scripture about how that God loved him and how that God cared for him. And he penned down the words to the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. It goes a little bit like this. He says, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in a friend so strong and true. I'll tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No other friend is so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. You know what Charles Weigel found out? Then in the midnight hour, God gave him a song. A lot of times when you don't think anybody's there, nobody cares, there's a God in heaven that'll show you, look, He will guide you through the way. Amen. How many of y'all ever heard of the footprints in the sand? You read about the person who wrote that poem. I guess it's a poem. It's a picture and a poem. And he said, I had a dream that there were two footprints in the sand. One set of footprints was mine. The other set of footprints was the Lord. But I noticed at the hard times in my life when I went through the trials and I needed you the most, I only saw one set of footprints. One set of footprints. Lord, receive me during those years of my life. And the Lord responds, says, my dear child, it was in those years, those are my footprints, it was in those years that I carried you when you could not carry yourself. Amen. That's what Job is being taught in this book. He's a God who will carry you, show you divine providence. Amen? Number two, something to consider when you cannot find God is that there is a process He desires. A lot of times we don't like that process. We don't like that process. It's quiet, but I believe the Lord is speaking here this morning. Now, it don't have to be swinging off the chandeliers type preaching tonight. That's fine. Verse number 10, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now you think about a refiner with the gold and the fire, and you got to think about the process when he talks about coming forth as gold. Listen, Job is learning that God's not so much interested about him being comfortable as much as he's interested in him being conformable. Amen? Sometimes God will make us uncomfortable because he wants to make us conformable to the image of his Son. And God is putting him through the fire. Listen, you think about a refiner when they first find the gold. Listen, I think so much about the gold. Listen, when they have to look for the gold, and when they first find the gold has got this black drossy film all over it. It doesn't even look like gold when they first find it. And they've got to look for it and search for it. That's a picture. Listen, that's what God does when He comes to save us. I mean, we got the world all over us and everything else, and we got all that film all over us. But then he begins to put it underneath the fire. And that film begins to come off. You know what God does? He puts us under the fire to let that dross come up. Listen, there's some things in our hearts we don't even know that sometimes even preaching cannot get out. Sometimes even the Word of God, God's got to put us through a trial. What? Not to hurt us, but to put us underneath that fire so that the dross can come up, so that He can brush away that dross out of our lives. Listen, I've heard people say, I want God to set me on fire. We don't want to go through the fire. That's the question. You want God to set you on fire, or are you willing to go through the fire? But when He begins to put it underneath the fire, listen, He knows how long the gold can stay underneath the fire. Amen? He doesn't put the gold underneath the fire to hurt the gold. Amen? And He doesn't keep it underneath the fire longer than what it has to be. This thing that you feel like is almost about to kill you right now, listen, God knows how much you can take tonight. And God's trying to get that dross out of your life. By the way, let me say this. The more pure the gold, amen, the more pricey the gold is. This ain't the first thing you're going to go through. But how many of y'all have heard this illustration many times? The refiner knows when the gold is ready when he can see his face as the reflection on the gold. You know what he's trying to conform you into? The image of his son. He wants to see a reflection of his face. But see, it doesn't stop there. He will take that gold and he will make it into a trophy or make it into an ornament and set it out for display. You know what God wants to do? What God's doing through your life, through what you're going through right now, you're being tried, you're being put underneath the fire. God wants to use you as an ornament of His grace, amen, to minister to somebody later on down the road. This loss you're going through in your life, this thing that you're going through later on down the road, 5 years, 10 years down the road, if the Lord tarries His coming, I promise you this, God's going to put somebody along your path. He's going to use you to minister unto them. Why? Because that's just how God works. He's got a process that He desires. And many times we don't like that process. We do not like that process. Let me say this also. You say, it seems like God is so silent in my life lately. Have you ever considered that the teacher is always silent during the test? He is. He is. Lastly tonight, when you cannot find God, you need to consider this, that there is a plan He designs. There's a plan He designs. Verse number 13, the Bible says, but He is of one mind. In other words, God's not wishy-washy. He is of one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with Him. In other words, this is just the beginning. And God's got a plan through it all. You got to understand, Job is realizing that God is sovereign and on the throne. Amen? Why is Jesus Christ called the author and the finisher of our faith? Why do you think He's called that? I mean, listen, He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, but He knows the beginning and the ending of our life. He is writing the chapters of our life. Listen, right now, I guarantee you, when Job was going through this part of his life, I guarantee you Job had no idea there was going to be a book written about him, and he was in chapter number 23 right now, and there's about 20 more chapters to be written about him. I guarantee you, when Job's in chapter 23, he had no clue that in chapter number 42, he was going to get back everything else that he had lost. Some of you, you're living in Job chapter 23 right now. And you don't see what God's going to do tomorrow or next year. All you see is your present situation now, and you're letting that get you discouraged, and you're missing the whole point that God has a plan through it all. Bible says that He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It makes me think of this. How many of y'all got a favorite movie or a favorite book y'all've read, and you sit down with that person who's never seen that movie before. You've seen the movie a million times, and you set that person down to watch that movie with you. They've never seen the movie ever. And now, if you're like me, I'll ruin it. I'll say, well, guess what's about to happen? But the person, listen, they, you know... you know the beginning and the ending. You know the suspenseful part of the movie. You know all the actors in it. You know every single part. That other person is sitting there. They don't have a clue what's about to go on. That's kind of how we are living by faith. Listen, God knows the beginning. He knows the ending. We're living by faith, not by sight. Listen, if we knew the beginning and the ending, we probably would mess a whole lot of things up. Amen? Listen, John the Beloved, when he saw, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he was exiled on Patmos, left for half dead, and he saw a glimpse of heaven. He saw a glimpse of Jesus Christ. And you read in Revelation chapter number 4, you know what he says? He saw Jesus Christ on the throne. One thing that he said stuck out to me, brother. He said, I saw a bow round about the throne. I saw the full rainbow when I got to heaven. Now, when we're down here and you see a rainbow, how much of the rainbow do you see? You see half the rainbow. Why? What gets in the way? The world. We're down here. But I guarantee you, that same rainbow, if I was in a jet flying over that storm, I would see the full rainbow because I'm looking down. You know what God says? He says, for my ways are higher than your ways. Amen? Matter of fact, let me read the verse of Scripture verbatim because I'm going to mess the verse of Scripture up. But just bear with me for a second. In Isaiah 55, he says that a certain way, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways, my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know why God says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth? Because he's the one who sits in the heavens and looks down and sees the whole picture. This is what Paul said, and I'm done. Paul said this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. There are things I'm not going to understand. I'm just not going to understand probably until I meet Jesus Christ face to face and get to heaven. There are things we're not going to understand of why this is going on and why that is going on in our life. But there's one thing we can cling to. We can cling to that God knows where we're at. His providence is divine. He will help us. There's a process He desires. There's something He is trying to mold us through this. And there's a plan He designs. Listen, don't fight the will of God for your life. Amen. So many times we will fight the will of God in our life. We go from churches to churches. We go from places to places. And we're running from what God is trying to do in our lives. And Job said, I'm just going to stick where God put me. Amen. I hope it's been a help tonight. When you cannot find God, He knows where you're at. I promise you that. Amen. Pastor, it's all yours.